Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 6, Text 13. Tasyanugunan slokan gayanti, janugunan slokan gayanti, aho buva sapta samudravatya, vipeshu varsheshvadi punyametat, gayanti yatratya jana murare, karmani badranyanuvataram, karmani badranyavataravanti, tasyanugunan slokan gayanti, slokan gayanti, aho buva sapta samudravatya, vipeshu vasheshpari punyameta, gayanti yat, tratya jana murare, karmani badranyavataravanti. Tasyanugunan slokan gayanti, aho buva sapta samudravatya, vipeshu vasheshvadi punyametat, gayanti yatratya jana murare, karmani badranyanavataranti. Asyanugunan slokan gayanti, aho buva sapta samudravatya, veshuva sheshvari punyametat, kayanti yatratya jana murare, kamam badranya vatharavanti, tasyanugunan slokan gayanti, aho buva sapta samudravatya, vipeshu vareshvari punyametat, gayanti yatratya jana murare, karmani badranya vatharavanti, tasyanugunan slokan gayanti, aho buva sapta samudravatya, vipeshu vasheshvari punyametat, gayanti yatratya jana murare, kamani badranya vatharavanti, tasyanugunan slokan gayanti, aho buva sapta samudravatya, Kayanti yatyatya jana murare. Karmani abhadranya vataravanti. Tasya of him, Lord Rishabdeva, Anugunan, conforming to the instructions for liberation. Slokan, verses, Gayanti, chant, Aho, O, Uva, of this earthly planet, Sapta Samudra Vatya, possessing seven seas, Vipeshu, among the islands, Vasheshu, among the lands, Adipunyam, more pious than any other land, more pious than any other island. Etat, this Bharatavarsha, Gayanti, sing about, Yatratya Jana, the people of this tract of land, Murare, of Murari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Karmani, the activities, Bhadrani, all auspicious, Avataravanti, in many incarnations such as Lord Rishabdeva. Translation. Learned scholars chant about the transcendental qualities of Lord Rishabdeva in this way. Oh, this earthly planet contains seven seas and many islands and lands, of which Bharatavarsha is considered the most pious. People of Bharatavarsha are accustomed to glorifying the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnations as Lord Rishabdeva and others. All these activities are very auspicious for the welfare of humanity. Translation, please repeat. Learned scholars chant about the transcendental qualities of Lord Rishab in this way. Oh, this earthly planet contains seven seas and many islands and lands, of which Bharatavarsha is considered the most pious. People of Bharatavarsha are accustomed to glorifying the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his incarnations as Lord Rishabdeva and others, all these activities are very auspicious for the welfare of humanity. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manasa Janma Jara Janma Satarka Kari Kara Para Upakara. As stated in this verse, Bharatavarsha is a most pious land. The followers of Vedic literature understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations, and they are privileged to glorify the Lord by following the directions of Vedic literature. After realizing the glories of human life, such people should take up the mission to spread the importance of human life throughout the whole world. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The word Adipunyam indicates that there are certainly many other pious men throughout the world, but the people of Bharatavarsha are even more pious. Therefore, they are fit to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world for the benefit of all human society. Srimadvacharya also recognizes the land of Bharatavarsha, Visheshat Bharate Punyam. Throughout the world, there is no question of Bhagavat Bhakti or devotional service, but the people of Bharatavarsha can easily understand the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, every inhabitant of Bharatavarsha can perfect his life by discharging Bhagavat Bhakti and then preaching this cult throughout the world for the benefit of everyone. So Prabhupada ki jai. So, in the last few verses, there's mention of the position of people in Kali Yuga, how they would be. There's just a brief description given here, but we know in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam there's more description. And in other shastras, there's more description of what people will be like in Kali Yuga. Mainly, they will be very much under the modes of passion and ignorance, not so much goodness. So a very unfortunate position. Here Bharatvarsha specifically refers to India. Of course, previously Bharatvarsha meant the whole world. The whole of Earth was called Bharatvarsha after Emperor Bharata. Before that it was Ilavritavarsha. Here it is said that Bharatvarsha, people born in the land of India are very fortunate. Because the Lord has incarnated so many times in that land and performed so many pastimes, given so many instructions in that land. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, people are going away from their spiritual heritage, their ancient culture, and are becoming more and more materialistic. And Prabhupada once said, I think it may have been here in LA that he said it. But of course, he said it many times. That he said the people of America have built up vast civilization, and they have been enjoying for a long time. But this civilization is is very materialistic. It's like the place of the crow. The crow always goes to the dirty place, not the beautiful places. Beautiful places meaning where there is spiritual activity, culture, and so on and so forth. Where there is no real spiritual culture and activity, that is considered not very auspicious. So it is the place of the crow. So Prabhupada said that America is like the old crow. They have been doing for a long time. He said, unfortunately, the people of India, they are like the new crow. You have the old crow and you have the new crow. The new crow means they are following the way of the old crow. The old crow has been doing for a long time. Now the new crow is imitating. Said in America there are many skyscraper buildings. Probably used to like the skyscraper buildings. And so much, I remember one time he came to Australia and we were walking in Japawar and we were walking through botanical gardens through the various streets. And Prabhupada said, this is a very beautiful city. He said, to make a city like this, take great endeavor. Who would not like to come and live in such a nice city as this? He said. But they are missing the spiritual culture. They are missing the Krishna consciousness. So ultimately, it cannot be so beautiful. So you come to LA, you go to New York, you go through Europe, many beautiful cities as far as build up of facilities and sense gratification. It's nice parks and roads and everything is is there. But there's no spiritual culture. Not like in India. India has been the spiritual culture. I can't see anyone over here. There's been spiritual culture for thousands and thousands and millions of years. Millions of years. Now, as we said, the Kali Yuga is everywhere. So the people in India, they are trying to... well, Prabhupada said the one thing with the Indian people, they are very attached... they are very attached to money. That is the one defect, and they're becoming very greedy, and because of that they will lose so many things. So they see that so much money is in the Western countries, so they have to do that, and they're giving up their culture. In fact, the Brahmana class, which is meant to give the spiritual teachings, mainly they're becoming like businessmen. They're not interested in following, mostly. And I remember talking to one of our congregational members in one of our temples, who's a born in a Brahmin family. He'd been away for 25 years. And he went back to his village. He wanted to visit his relatives in his village. And he went back and he said he was very shocked at the change in the last 20 to 25 years. He said, everyone has become a meat eater. Even the Brahmins. So now I read an article a few years back, actually, where so many people of India have become meat eaters. That practically 80% of the population of India has become meat eating. Only 20% are the pure vegetarian. Now, you go back 40, 50 years, it was the other way around. So he said he went back to his village and was very shocked at how much changed it, and how much the people, where the internet is everywhere, the television is everywhere, that modern type of living is everywhere. The youth especially. Practically everywhere in the world has become a monoculture. Everyone's the same, imitating countries like America, Europe. Everyone's wearing the jeans, you know, the shirt, the little hat. And every country you go is the same thing. There's no different, hardly any different culture. Like in India, when we were first going to India, so many people, you see the men walking around in dhoti and kurta, ladies in saris, right? And you still see ladies in saris, but it's decreasing. And men in dhoti and kurta in India, how many do you see? Hardly anyone. Hardly, maybe the older generation there were going in dhoti and kurta. But the young generation, those are jeans, shirt, cap. You know, we were just in Juhu a few months back having a meeting in Bombay. And there's the Starbucks coffee cafe is there. You know, all the latest, the Western movies are all there. People are walking around, all the bars, you know, the young people are walking around, drinking. The same thing. So Prabhupada said that India, they've become like the new crow. The crows are just interested in the filthy place, the stooly place. Actually, one time Prabhupada said in Calcutta, he's giving a talk, he said, if the crow always goes to the filthy place, if I stand on the veranda here and spit, the crow will come down and eat it. The people have become like that. All these things, the activities they're doing. What is lacking is real culture. So, now, but Prabhupada did say, but in India still, if you scratch beneath the surface, still the culture is there. It is covered by the effects of the Kali Yuga and following the Western country, all these things, greedy for money, you know, just business, make money. But still, if you scratch, it is still there. So this has to be awakened. We saw that Prabhupada wanted to start his Krishna consciousness movement in India, and he went to Jhansi and started his League of Devotees. You know, we read that story. But he had one disciple, but it wasn't so successful. He came to America, and it took off. And then he wanted to take the devotees back to India and revitalize India again. Now, it is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manasa Janma Jara, Janma Sataka Karikara Para Upaka, that the people of Bharatvash, he says, this is a very pious land because of so many incarnations coming, leelas, instructions, Vedic culture. Now, it is the duty of those born in the Bharatvasha to take up their ancient heritage themselves and spread it all over the world. They have to, of course, take it up themselves first. Sometimes in India, people will ask me when I'm giving a class at the end, they'll say, Swami, in India, we are knowing these things like the Veda and the Bhagavad Gita. We know these things, but why we are suffering? Why there in India there's so much suffering? They say it like that. And I say, yes, you are knowing these things, but you are not following these things. That is the problem. You may be knowing, and they talk like that, you may be knowing. You may be knowing, but you are not following. If you have to follow, the thing is that when someone knows and still they act sinfully, the reaction will be worse. Prabhupada always told us. Someone who is ignorant, they do something, they'll get reaction. But someone who knows and still does it, he'll get even more reaction. So they are suffering, they are getting more reaction. All this knowledge, all this culture, yet they are not following very well. Now we're finding though in India, and in ISKCON especially, there is a revitalization of Krishna consciousness. Many of the young people are becoming very interested in Krishna consciousness. I have to say in India, our temples have become very strong and attracting a lot of the youth, and educated youth. Prabhupada always said, yes, we have to give Krishna consciousness to everyone, especially we have to give to the educated classes and they can lead the others. When Prabhupada, every time Prabhupada came to Australia, where I'm from, he would always say to us that you invite all the leaders of society here. I want to speak to the leaders. We always used to go out and invite the minister of so-and-so and the social worker and the professor and even priests, we'd invite them. We had the Bishop Kelly came. Every time he came, he always, and sometimes he said, why you didn't invite? So he wanted to speak to them, invited them. And it was very interesting to hear the conversation. And Prabhupada would try to get them to understand Krishna consciousness and try to implement Krishna consciousness in society. And he would always say, you leaders, if you leaders take it up, and then the others will follow. So in India, we are seeing that many of the educated, intelligent class leaders have a lot of appreciation for Krishna consciousness. And when we go from temple to temple, we see our Indian temples are going strong. And not only that, but in other temples, I noticed when I was last time I was down in Udupi, in Madhvacharya, when you go to a lot of the other temples, there's worship, but many of the temples are really pretty dry. There's worship, there's no kirtan, there's no lectures. But now I noticed that in Madhvas and even in the Sri Sampradaya, they're introducing more kirtan and more lectures. And due to ISKCON's influence. Now when you go to Udupi, for example, there'll be always those lectures going on. They've got a side hall. And there's always lectures going all day. And they have like a schedule. Swami such and he'll be speaking at such time. And then at 4 o'clock, Swami said he'll come and speak. All day long as the people come in. So they can come in and then they can go on the side and listen to a lecture. So that's good. So that's and we've got a very good relationship with them. We've got a small center there in Udupi and in other areas as well. So we need that. Otherwise it is just dry, ritualistic. And the young people are not so interested in ritualistic type of activity. And even before our generation, we left the churches and wherever we were following when we were young. It was too dry, too ritualistic. Who knew what those rituals were? Sometimes even the priests don't even. In Indonesia, sometimes the priests are doing these functions. I ask them, what is that ceremony? I don't know exactly, but it's some ancient tradition that we learned from our father, everything, and we are doing it. I said, you're the priest. You don't even know what it is. Then how do you expect the others to follow? People have to understand what's going on. And Prabhupada would always explain when we installed. I was in Krishna Balaram Temple when the deities were installed there. And Prabhupada, they had those big famous South Indian Brahmins come up. Prabhupada said, because here in Vrindavan, because of the Westerners, they may not accept that this deity is actually installed properly and bona fide because it's done by the Westerners. But if we bring some big famous Brahmins from the south, then they will accept. But I want that the kirtan goes on 24 hours a day. There was a 7-day yajna, I remember. 7-day. And we had to do the 24-hour kirtan and classes. Like that. So Prabhupada wanted. And when Prabhupada did yajna, I remember I was at one yagya. He would, you know, generally you're at the yagya, you have the Vedas read at each corner, one Veda here, and traditionally. Prabhupada always wanted. He said, yes, on this corner you read Bhagavad Gita. This corner you read Nectar of Devotion. This corner Srimad Bhagavatam. This corner Nectar of Instruction, like that. So he always wanted and lecture, an explanation. So the people of India have to also take up the same spirit. They themselves have to take up following their ancient culture. This is something, can be the gift to the world from India. And this is what people appreciate, that gift. What is India going to, Prabhupada would say that, what is India going to give the world? More skyscrapers? Who goes to see skyscrapers? You're going on a tour around the place and you're going to see all the different skyscrapers of the world. You already so many of those things. You don't go to the cities, and you don't, even the Kamis, you don't see them flocking to skyscrapers. Maybe they have a casual look here and there, but they're not so interested. It's because every city of the world's got the same thing. So India, they're building up the skyscrapers, they're building up the same type of cultures and, you know, as far as cities and ways of life as the West. But, you know, that's not a gift to the world. The real gift is the spiritual culture. So Indians have to take it up very seriously. And is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that they do so. here it is said that that the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that to spread the importance of human life throughout the world. People should take it up. After realizing the glories of human life, such people, such as those in the Bharat Bhai, should take it up and spread this Krishna consciousness all over the world. The people of the land of Bharat Varsha are very pious in that respect. Therefore, they are fit to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So there's one. I remember one story of Prabhupada. I wasn't there on that morning walk. I was in Mayapur at the time, but Prabhupada went walking through the fields, and as he was walking, now they were going through the rice paddies, through the little tracts of land through the rice paddy, and as they were going, one farmer came. He paid his obeisances and touched Prabhupada's feet. Prabhupada stopped, he said, and he said something to him in Hindi, in Bengali rather. He said something in Bengali to him, and, you know, they exchanged like that, and then the farmer went away. Now he said, just see this farmer. He is just a farmer, he said. But even a farmer knows this culture. He is a sadhu coming. He said, actually, this is his land. He said, this is his land we are walking on. If I was walking on someone's land in the West, they would come with a gun. They would come with a gun. What are you doing here? Get off. Boom, 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 boom. Right? They would come with a gun. But this man, he is a simple farmer, yet he knows what is this culture. He is sadhu. Let me pay my obeisances to him. I remember another story that Sridhi Kiri tells in Bombay. The Prabhupada with Sridhi Kiri and with Shamsundar. And they drove to some place in their Prabhupada. They had an ambassador car. So they came out. Sridhi Kiri and Prabhupada got in the back seat of the ambassador car. Shrimasundar got in the front seat. He tried to start the car. Wouldn't start. Kept trying. Wouldn't start. Prabhupada, there's something wrong with the car. I'm going to go and get some help. So Prabhupada and Sridhi Kiri were just sitting in the back. Two Indian gentlemen came. They started talking to Prabhupada in India. Prabhupada was talking to them. And then after some time, Sridhi Kiri said, what are they saying, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, he said, actually, this is their car. We got in the wrong car. That's why we can't start. Said, if you've been to India, you know, all the ambassadors look the same. Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 4, they're all the same. So he said, this is their car, but they are so nice. They see I am a sadhu, and they are offering their respects to me, and they are offering to drive me anywhere I want to go. I thanked them politely. I said, we're very sorry. We have our own car. We are just going to our own car. So he said, just see the people of India. If you were sitting in someone else's car, in the West, what would happen? You'd be lucky to get out of there alive. Especially here in LA, they're so attached to their cars around there. I've been noticing. So, but Prabhupada said, but in India. So we just scratch the surface that's there. We're not very happy to see the young people especially just adopting so much of the Western culture that they are forgetting. This meat eating. Prabhupada said that one time in Hawaii, actually, some devotee had left, and a disciple was speaking to Prabhupada about him. And Prabhupada asked, is he eating meat? And the devotee said, no, Prabhupada is not eating meat. Then he still can be considered a devotee. But if he's eating meat, then. So in India, so many eating meat. Especially the fish, the chicken. How much chicken eating? You go on the plane to India, full of the Indian people, and the hostess will come up and down. She'll say, veg or chicken? And the whole line will be chicken, 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 chicken the whole way. He's laughing, he knows. Chicken, 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 everyone chicken. I'm just like shaking my head. Chicken. Now, why on earth did the people of India have to eat meat? There's such nice food there. All preparations. You know, we as devotees, we come from Western culture. We ate all that type of food before. But which one of us, now being devotees, ever thinks of eating some chicken after having nice prasad? Does any one of us think, oh, I wouldn't mind going into that McDonald's and getting a Mac burger or something like that? No one ever thinks about it. Why? Because prasadam is so nice. So much variety of prasadam. I never actually saw a very skinny devotee because there's so much prasadam, especially at the temple. So why do people, and in India they have all these preparations. Why do they have to eat the chicken, the fish, so much fish eating. In South India, all on the coast there, they eat so much fish eating, chicken eating. Now, some are also eating the beef, eating the steak, you know. So, and you know, quite often we go on Harinam past McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken, and all in there. We have many in Australia, we have many Indian students studying there. And every time we do it, so many in there. Half the McDonald's is all Indian students in there. So, you know, of course, when we can talk to them and we can invite them to the temple, we can show them some nice prasadam. You don't have to take this thing. Prabhupada was in Australia one time. He was cooking a nice preparation with curd and tomato and cauliflower, I think. And he called it, this is very nice. He said, the meat eaters will like this. He said, this can be called meat eater's delight. A korma, if you look in Korma's vegetarian cookbook, you'll see one preparation, meat eater's delight. Some devotees complained to Korma. Why do you put a preparation, meat eater's delight? He said, Prabhupada called it that. Prabhupada called it meat eater's delight. And then another time, Prabhupada made some cauliflower pakoras. He said, the meat eaters were like this. He said, this is just like chicken. Instead of eating chicken, let them eat cauliflower pakora. You know, I often say to the Indian people when I meet them, but why are you eating meat? No need to eat meat. Because that is a real block for your spiritual understanding. Don't eat that. You have so much nice food here. And you'll find, around this area is a little different, but everywhere in the world I go, the Indian restaurants, when you see so many Indian restaurants, they're all meat-eating restaurants, isn't it? There's a few around here, I notice, but that's the kind of rare. In most countries I go, you'll see practically every Indian restaurant in the world is meat-eating and BYO and alcohol, the whole thing. It's an Indian restaurant. I remember in Jagannath Puri, I was there recently, and we stayed. This actually was a few years ago. We stayed in that hotel, you know, Hotel Prabhupada, you know, that one. Hotel Prabhupada. We were going down the beach looking for some place to stay. Oh, Hotel Prabhupada, let's stay there. So we went in there, and there's a big, what is that big statue of Lord Chaitanya? And I think there's a Prabhupada there too. Anyway, I thought it might have some connection to the temple, but then the temple said, oh, you're not staying there. I said, why? What's the matter? He said, oh, we've got a case against them. I said, what for? Because I thought they called it their Hotel Prabhupada, you know, and they're just using the name. He said, no, not that. That's good. Because their restaurant is meat eating. They've got a meat eating restaurant. And it's owned by one of the pandas of the temple of Jagannath Puri. He's a panda. He owns that hotel. And many times the devotees have gone to him and said, well, you know, you've got such a nice hotel with Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya inside there. Why do you have to have the meat-eating restaurant? Don't have that meeting. But he said, no, you have to have that because otherwise the people don't come here. Anyway, he refused to. Anyway, they got, I don't know, it's still probably going on in the court, you know, but that's why. And the devotee said, don't stay there because we've got a case against him. Anyway, so these things have to change. So the people of Bharat Varsh, they have to understand the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting the holy name? One time in Melbourne, Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and at the end one person said, Swami, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says Krishna comes in every age. So how has he come in this age? In the Kali. This person must have read Gita and understood a few things. I was expecting Prabhupada to say he's come in the form of Lord Chaitanya. But Prabhupada said he's come in the form of his name. In the form of his name. By this chanting. And then he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. This is the means of deliverance for the people of the Kali Yuga. And that was said by Lord Brahma. Iti sora shikam nam nam kali kalma sanasam nata parthagopaya sava vedishu drishyate. Lord Brahma said to Narad when Narad was disturbed about the people, what would happen to the people of Kali Yuga. And Lord Brahma said, yes, this, how will they be delivered, Narad said. I am very concerned about them. They are very attached to sinful activities, ruled by the mode of passion and ignorance. Yes, it is very difficult, but there will be one means of deliverance. Iti shorta shikam nam. In all the Vedas, you won't find any process better than this. And he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Actually, he said, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya changed it around. So, so we have this mantra, we have these books. We've got a lot of work to do. Actually, we were in a computer store yesterday, dressed like this, and one girl came up. How come you're wearing this dress? And it was just a young girl, maybe, 20, 25 or something. And she said, what's that? And he explained, this is where, you know, I'm married, I'm wearing... She asked about the colours. I'm wearing white because, you know, I'm Grihastha. And he is single, he's wearing that colour. And we are Hare Krishna. And she said, oh, what's that? What's Hare Krishna? She didn't know. Just in L.A. So we've still got a lot of work to do. And we have to... Now, I was talking to Brigu, and I know you're doing great in book distribution. And you're practically number one in, for America, and number right up there in the world. I just read the latest Sankirtan newsletter. But still, there's... I know from my day also, when I was full-time book distribution, people buy the books, but they kind of know it's Hare Krishna, but they don't kind of connect it so much to this. Isn't it, Brigham? You find that too. They don't necessarily, maybe a few, but mostly they don't connect. So we have to be out there as much as possible like this as well. So Harinam, festivals, whatever way you want to do. But everything has to go on simultaneously. The colleges and like this. Even if you just walk around like this. People come up to you. What's this? We stopped off at a park on the way back when we came the other day. Some lady came up. Who are you? Right, was it? Just stopped off to have something to eat at the park bench or something like that. She came up. So just walking around like this is good, as much as possible. Of course, Harinam and other activities. Even some of you want to do book distribution dressed in Dodi and Kurta would be good. All right, anyway, I'll finish there. Does anyone have any question or comment? Yes, Bruce. My cut.
Thank you, Maharaj. Just one comment, but a question also. You mentioned something about a chicken eating.
What?
You spoke about chicken eating.
Chicken eating.
I was talking to one person yesterday, and we started talking about meat eating. And they were, just to exhibit the present mentality of people, they were glorifying or, I guess, in some way espousing the advancement of modern society, that now they produced a chicken that's hairless.
That's what?
Featherless.
Oh.
So it's less trouble to kill and eat. Just a little comment there. Their modern advancement is so, they're so proud that now they can produce chickens in mass quantity without too much trouble, and we can kill them, slaughter them easier. You mentioned something about also talking to students about meat eating. Do they ask you, why should I not eat meat? And what do you tell them?
Why should I not eat meat?
Yes. Everyone else is doing, why shouldn't we?
Well, I actually, to tell you the truth, the Indian students, when I question them about that, they kind of know they shouldn't be doing it, a lot of them, many of them. But some of them just feel it's okay to eat chicken, and you have to explain to them, just like you explained to a Westerner, the same thing, there's no difference. I find there's no difference. And, you know, quite often, you know, in a plane sometimes you've got your little prashad, and then I remember one time the lady next to me was asking, oh, what's that? And I had to explain to her. And then she asked, why meat eating? Why don't you eat meat? So I had to explain why we don't, you know. And you can explain from different angles, the health angle, the moral angle, why killing and all these types of things. And and on this particular lady, she agreed with everything I said. But in the end, she just said, well, but I really like my meat. They're so attached. So ultimately, you have to present the different arguments why they shouldn't be eating meat. Then you have to give them something that's better. You have to give them some nice prasadam. You give them and you invite them. Give them a samosa. You know, I had some samosas. Here, you try some of these samosas. Oh, this is very good. So you explain the philosophy, then you have to give them nice prasadam. So prasadam, where we're from, we do a lot of prasadam distribution. Prabhupada once told us, your country will be conquered by prasadam distribution. People might tell me in England, Prabhupada told them over there, your country will be conquered by theatre. Anyway, culture, all of it together. So we have to do a lot of prasadam distribution. And then let people see. You know, I remember I became a vegetarian before I was a devotee. And it was very difficult. I mean, I was following it, but you couldn't go anywhere. You wouldn't be invited to this function or that party or this. And that the host would be scratching, well, why do we cook for him? What do we offer him? You offer some, get some carrots and a bit of lettuce and something like that. You know, and I remember at the time having to sit there eating my carrots and lettuce, and everyone else would be having a full. So it was a bit difficult socially also. There's all aspects of it. Socially it's a little difficult. People like to drink beer and wine with their meat and so on and so forth. This is a social aspect too. So you have to give them a nice prasadam, you have to serve them a nice alternate social culture. All these things. We're coming from a background where meat eating is just ordinary, and drinking beer, wine, I remember there was one new bhakta who just joined up. And before he was a devotee, he was a barman. He used to pour the beer at the pubs. So he said he was doing sankirtan. So he's going around to all the kind of restaurants, going to the tables, you know, selling some books. And it was a real hot day. And the people were there and drinking their beer, their cold beer. And he said he had a few at that point, you know, because of his previous conditioning, he saw the cold beer there and he said, geez, I wouldn't mind one of those. His mind was telling him. But he said, no, I'm not going to do it. If I have one, then I'll have two, then I'll have three. And he was very happy when he came back at the end of the day that he passed that test that Maya had sent him. So we need to do a lot of things to get people over. Yes, Van.
Marge, thank you for a very nice class. What do you say to a vegan that says, but, you know, you guys are supposed to be practicing nonviolence and you're, you know, drinking the milk of cows who are, you know, slaughtered. What kind of argument do you give to someone like that?
Well, vegan arguments. You know, I read an article the other day where these medical researchers had found that vegetarian diet, the intensity of the bone was much less in vegetarians than in meat eaters. But they had to qualify it and said, but the vegetarians who were... That was true for vegetarians who were vegans. They were like, they had 5 or 10% less intensity to their bones than meat eaters. But as far as lacto-vegetarians or over-lacto-vegetarians, practically they were the same. There was no difference between their bone structure. And so definitely the vegans miss out on a lot of things they need for good health. They will argue one way or the other, and they've tried to hijack the whole vegetarian kind of argument and everything and try to claim that the only vegetarians are vegans and everyone else is not a vegetarian. As far as milk, you know, you have to make... We'd like to educate people not to kill the cows that give the milk, and we are educating. We, at the same time, milk is so important that we have to take the milk. We offer it to the deity. We'd like to have our own farms to produce our own milk, that we should have that. But in the cities, we can't always have that. But milk is so important, and this is the way Prabhupada explained it. I heard him explain it this way. He said, milk is so important that we have to have the milk, and we take the milk, we offer to Krishna, so then that cow is benefited. That cow is benefited because Krishna has taken his prasadam, and anyone who drinks that milk, they'll be benefited. So that's, I always say that to the vegans. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Kita, Gaura Premanandi, Hari Bol.